I found that through interviewing these people, the people that are heroic enough to question who they are and be open about that, not, you don't have to do it in a public forum like I'm doing. I just choose that medium. It could just be by joining a group like one of the mastermind groups that we're in, but being completely real and vulnerable and say, this is what I'm struggling with. I want to get better. And when you're open to that, I think the greatest teaching moments come alive.
This is the Inner Changemaker with Jay Wong, the podcast dedicated to purpose-driven entrepreneurs and multi-passionate individuals. Tune in each week as we bring you an inspiring person and message to help you activate and tap into your inner changemaker. Thanks for spending some time with us today, and let's get started. Hello, fellow changemakers. Today we have such an awesome guest on the show, my good friend Mark Guay. Now, Mark currently hosts two individual podcasts. He's known for the Traveling Cup, and he recently launched Your Life on Purpose, which is a top podcast, and especially in the career category. He is an educator, an entrepreneur, a writer for the Huffington Post, but I like to consider Mark as a Renaissance man. I mean, someone who does it all and is living in line with his purpose. He has interviewed, I think, you know, well over 100, you know, change makers, popular names such as Chris Gillibo, Seth Godin, many other people that are well known in the entrepreneurial realm. Be sure to check out his podcast. Mark, welcome to the show, brother.
Thanks, man. That was an incredibly kind introduction. So I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy that you got this podcast going. And I love how you're focusing on the inner change maker, because that's where real, meaningful, effective change occurs.
For sure. And I have to credit, you know, some previous conversations I had with you in being able to be where I am now in terms of a lot of the things that you're doing with the Traveling Cup, and especially even coming up the name, the Inner Changemaker. It's a play on words on kind of like the artist within, you know, the entrepreneur within, the person that wants to create, that deeper level of impact. So, you know, I'm definitely grateful to have you on the show and for you to be a part of this.
Yeah, me too, man. You know, it's funny too, because like, just as you say that, I think it's so critical to think about how, who you are as a person and what you do with your work. It's sort of, you know, the future of work, it's a blender where what you do in your life is your work and your work is your life. And I know there's some people that disagree with that, but from what I found with all my interviews and with talking to people, is that those that are most fulfilled in their work are doing work that's far beyond a paycheck. It's work that is in accordance with their beautiful life story. So just something I wanted to throw out there right away.
For sure. And I definitely agree. And this is why I think it's just fascinating to have you on the show.
There's people that disagree, though. There's people that want, they're like, no, work is, you clock in, you clock out, and then you, you know, and then you have your life on the side. And honestly, I'm kind of jealous of those people, but I can't do that. I have only so much time here on this earth, and I want it to be as effective and meaningful as possible. And so, yeah, I can't check out like that. And but there's some people that have called me out and said they totally disagree, which is cool.
Fair enough. So, I mean, you are a teacher, for a majority part of the year. And you're also doing, you know, all these different, the couple different podcasts that you're a part of. I mean, how does this align? I mean, what is the purpose of, you know, Mark Guay and putting all this together?
I love that question. So, you know, my purpose, I always identify as a coach and as a teacher. And everything that I've done in my life, whether it was personal training, triathlon coaching, or coaching and teaching my seniors in high school as they transition to, quote, the real world, end quote. But, you know, I started, it was about 3 years ago-ish, and I was sitting there as a teacher, and you know, honestly, Jay, I really did not enjoy school as a kid. School kind of saved me because I grew up in a very poor family, and in my school, it was a private school that my mother penny-pinched to send me to, and I got scholarship to go. And that really helped turn me into the person that I am. But I really didn't understand school. Like, I was sitting in class and I'd be like, how the heck is this going to help me in the real world? Like, I just saw such a disconnect. And this is before Google. This is before YouTube. You know, that whole thing, right?
Yeah,
and so, I didn't really know what the real world was, but I just knew that it didn't make sense. So I got into education because I wanted to be the change maker and I wanted to transform education. And in fact, that's my first podcast, the Transforming Education Podcast. I don't even know if you knew that I did that one, but I since have stopped that one. But as a teacher, it was like 3 or 4 years ago, you know, I had a former student meet me out for coffee, and he had graduated from a top college and in honors, by the way. And he meets me out for coffee and he goes, Mr. Guay, and I was like, you can call me Mark now. and he goes, I don't know what to do next. You know, he goes, I have this degree. He had an internship with the NBA. He goes, but I don't really know how to take my skills and if I'm doing, you know, what I'm meant to do or whatever.
Right.
And so I said, what tips do you have to live my life on purpose is essentially what he asked me. And I said, I don't really know. I mean, I'm a teacher and I don't really know what the quote real world is like because I'm in academia. And anyone that's in university or the public school system or whatever, academia is a beautiful place, but it's very disconnected oftentimes from the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go out and find out what the heck the real world is really about. And so I started interviewing people, like you said, Chris Guillebeau, you know, our idols, right? Seth Godin, and others like that, met Arianna Huffington. And I wanted to find out, okay, A, how the heck did they connect their dots? How did they get to where they are today? And then B, what are they, like, what lessons can they share? Like, what are they teaching now, right? And so I shared those interviews on the Traveling Cup. And, you know, to help people connect the dots between school, their passion, and what the world needs. And that sort of led into Your Life on Purpose, which is just a daily 10-minute podcast that takes all those things that I've learned from all those interviews and condenses it into a daily 10-minute format.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's so funny that, you know, a lot of the stories and from change makers that, you know, that I've interviewed thus far, everyone kind of started in a similar fashion where, you know, they didn't know the answer when they, you know, started doing, you know, their line of business or started doing a podcast or started trying to answer, you know, a particular question. But in trying to discover the answer, that's what really began their own journey in learning about themselves and learning about the world and how, you know, maybe business works or how, you know, relationships and how to communicate more effectively. And I think it's just really great to kind of see the evolution, you know, of Mark Guay and to kind of see, you know, you just had one conversation with one student and that led to you, you know, meeting Arianna Huffington.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. She's actually the most amazing speaker. I know we were talking off the record about speaking and you know how to deliver an effective speech.
Sure, yeah.
And she was the greatest orator, and I use that word because it's the classical word for, you know, a speech giver, right? Or speaker. And she didn't even use any notes. She didn't have, or I'm sorry, she did have note cards, which is sort of like taboo now for whatever reason. And but she didn't have a PowerPoint. You know, no visuals, nothing. No like crazy video or anything, or no beautiful photos to help keep us on task. She just was very organized and a beautiful speaker. And we sat there and listened to her stories. She used, you know, was a great storyteller. But yeah, you know, meeting her was great. Seth Godin was incredible. And what I've been able to do is, you know, take those things that I've learned from them and use that in my full-time job as a teacher, but then also, you know, the lessons over at Your Life on Purpose.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into it. Let's get into kind of the bulk of it, right? I mean, you've interviewed, you know, all these amazing change makers and entrepreneurs, successful archetypes. I mean, what is like the first thing someone needs to do if they're trying to live a life of purpose, especially for the millennial generation or people that are coming out of school?
That's a great question. So, I mean, the first thing that I would say is you need to realize that you can. I mean, Steve Jobs once said, what did he say? It was, give me 1 second here, I'm blanking for a second. He said that the world was made up by people that were no smarter than you, and you can change it. And
I
love that quote. And I identify with Steve Jobs because we're both adopted, and so I've always kind of, you know, really appreciated him as a role model. But that quote is so influential because I don't think a lot of people know this. And as a teacher, what's really interesting is I get to see the inner workings of people's lives, their families, right? Mm-hmm. And we all come from the same place. And I don't know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, you needed to have a lot of money to get a message out. You know what I mean? And you know, growing up with a silver spoon, metaphorically speaking, was really important because it really helped you get to an Ivy League school, helped you establish those great connections. But now we're living in, like you called me a Renaissance man. I honestly think we're living in an incredible Renaissance where, you know, technology, information, it's being able to be spread way faster than Gutenberg could have ever imagined when he created the printing press. And because of that, no matter where you're born, how much money you're born into, what neighborhood you're born into, it doesn't matter whether or not you're on the Bronx side of Fifth Avenue or you're on Manhattan side of Fifth Avenue, which, by the way, is the poorest place in the United States and the most wealthiest place, like a mile away from each other, which is crazy.
Right.
But now it doesn't matter as much. I mean, there's still, you know, obviously there's some things to personal agency and stuff like that, but you're able to, you know, watch Harvard lectures if you wanted to online for free. You're able to connect with people like we're connecting. You're in Toronto, I'm in New York. You're able to learn information. You're able to create things way more than before. So the thing that I say first is recognizing that you can, because really you are no different than those people that you idolize and than your role models. You and I, we were throwing out names, Seth Godin, Chris Guillebeau, Pat Flynn, all incredible people, Arianna Huffington. They're no different than us. They're at a different place maybe right now, but where they started is no different than us. And that's something that I think a lot of people think about, or maybe they don't think about, but they don't really give it like enough credit and really think about it because it really is true.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really fascinating because you're absolutely right. It almost sounds too cliche, you know, to like, you know, believe that you can, right? But I think, you know, the reason maybe we consider it a little cliche is because it's withstood the testament of time. You know, people use it over and over again because, you know, having that initial belief is so crucial. And also, you're absolutely right. When we put, you know, a lot of these, you know, we're dropping all these names, but we put them on these pedestals and we think, oh my God, these, you know, Elon Musk is so great, or, you know, whoever is so absolutely amazing. But, you know, they also started with not knowing, you know, what their purpose was. You know, they also started with a question that they did not know the answer to right off the bat. And so, you know, you didn't see the journey that they had to go through to get to be who they are today. And so, you know, we are absolutely on the same playing field. It's just about, are you going to make that choice to, you know, tap into the abundant information that is out there in the modern world?
Yeah. And, you know, I like to attribute it to the hero's journey. And, you know, we often put these people, like you said, on a pedestal, but all you need to do is activate the hero within. And by hero, I don't mean, you know, become some superhero, but really look at who you are and what's your unique genius. And this is like, that's again, that sounds sort of cliche. And I think the reason that it's cliche is because it's hard. It's hard. We push it off as, oh, that's cliche, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's really hard because you have to look within yourself. You know what I mean? And I think the most heroic thing is asking yourself the questions that we're talking about here. Who am I? You know, what is my purpose? How do I live more intentionally? What's my unique story? What's my unique genius? You know, and then journaling and doing like these different habits that we're talking about that help you get to that level. But you know what? By pushing it off and saying, you know, that's cliche, I think is kind of just a cop out. And it's what we would call a limited mindset, right? And we're all about growing to a limitless mindset.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how would someone be able to kind of work on their beliefs or work on believing in themselves more? Is it through habits like journaling? Do you have kind of a routine or some go-to habits?
Sure. I mean, writing is incredibly important, obviously, and just having a journal that you write in is really effective. For me, though, I'm pretty bad at journaling. I try to do it. For me, I mean, everyone's unique. You got to find your own unique way. For me, it's through conversations. Like I very much value the people that I keep in my life, and I attribute my life a lot to the you are the five people that you spend the most time with. Mm. And I get a lot out of conversations. It's, I guess we would call it constructivist learning. It's when you create meaning through conversations. And it's the people that I talk about. And we have deep, meaningful conversations about my life, about their life, and things like purpose and, you know, politics, sex, religion, like all those things you're not supposed to talk about at the dinner table. But having those meaningful conversations with people that empower you, I think is a really good way to really find your own path. You know, the other thing too is really just diving into what is your story. You know, like what has happened in your life, and I call them dots. And the dots are things that you can't really predict. Like you can't, you know, I have a hate-love relationship with the term life plan, because you can't really plan out your life. It's good, like, but you do need it's helpful to plan, but it rarely works out that way. And Steve Jobs again said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking back. So I always like to think about and identify dots. And what have been pivotal points in my life that have been really influential. And so you asked specifically, like, what things do I do or what do I teach people, you know, to get to them? Writing is one way. Conversations is another. Two, you kind of unconventional ways that I think you can get to that is a steady meditation practice. I've been meditating since I was 16, and just I kind of steered away from it in my 20s, and then about 4 years ago got into it, and now I'm at a steady meditation practice, and that helps me really dig deep within myself, because the thoughts that arise consistently, that's always, you know, that's kind of like an aha to me, going like, why do I keep coming back to that? You know, what is that? Is that fear-based thinking or whatever? The other unconventional way, and this is, I think, truly unconventional because not many people talk about it, is I've actually been doing past life regressions since I was a kid. And this is something I don't think I've ever actually talked about publicly, but, and I don't even know if I'm a natural skeptic at heart, but I'm very open to a lot of different things, and I'm, you know, and I love introspective ways. So another way that you can sort of dive deep within yourself is what Dr. Brian Weiss would call past life regressions, which are where they're it's a level of hypnosis, and you tap into your subconscious and your earlier memories as a kid, and then you go into past lives. Now, whether or not you even believe in the past lives thing, just the whole, actually, it's amazing when you're hypnotized and you're called to bring up a childhood memory. It's pretty amazing the memories that come about. And I remember I had one recently where I think it was like 4 years old, and it was during that time where you would have like the onesie kind of pajamas with the plastic feet. I don't know if you ever had those as a kid.
Okay.
And I love them. And I was sitting there at the kitchen table, and my mother's back was to me, and she was cooking, and I was eating these super greasy chicken nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Sounds delicious.
It was amazing. So after it, I called my mother and I said, Ma, just curious, like, you know, do you remember that? And she's like, oh my gosh, yeah. And like, she used to love those things and used to sit at this, you know, in this seat you used to wear your onesie, like it was, or whatever the thing was called. So anyways, that's another way. Another way that you could do it, another unconventional way, is a good friend of ours, Michael Sanders, wrote a great book called Ayahuasca in Executive Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And that's where use the traditional Peruvian ayahuasca medicine to have a psychedelic introspective exploration of yourself. And I've never done that personally. I'm definitely interested in trying it sometime in my life when the opportunity seems best. But Michael definitely enlightened me a lot to talking about how that helped him further align his purpose. And I've had many friends, you know, enjoy that experience. So, yeah, I mean, those are just a couple different ways. The list can go on. Me personally, I think the simplest way is honestly just thinking about it, because very seldom do we actually stop and really think about that. We're so caught up in like the rat race of buying things and working 9 to 5, and then your responsibilities, you love your family and stuff like that. So I think just being conscious and being intentional with your time is, you know, like the easiest way, and it sounds super simple, but you know, that's the truth.
I mean, it's, you know, if it was simple, everyone would do it, right? And we hear that quite a bit, you know, with being, you know, anything in life, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. Shout out to Michael Sanders, by the way. We just, he was at dinner last night, and his book is doing some amazing things on, it's on Amazon right now. I think it's sitting in number one in spirituality. Not a plug or not meant to be a plug or anything, but just the way he was talking about enlightenment. And the way, you know, he described his journey through the Amazon, it was really, really amazing. And I'm sure we'll have him on the show at some point. I love what you said, though, with how people tell their own like how they tell the stories to themselves. Because that's really it, right? It's about creating that perception of yourself. If you believe that you could be successful, you can. But it's just about what is the inner chatter, right? The inner change maker, right? It all connects. So what is the inner dialogue that's going on in your head? What is the inner beliefs of you and your abilities and your capabilities of how you can, you know, throw all this together? So I absolutely love that. And I think, you know, has if people are even listening to this podcast and the listeners to this, they're leaps and bounds ahead because it's at least conscious. Right, they're thinking mm-hmm. about it every day, whether they're journaling about it or whether they're telling themselves, you know, whatever story it is, to yeah. be conscious of that storyline. Right?
Yeah, like the one thing too, just to add on to it, that you know, my expertise, my schooling was in education. I went to school for English and anthropology. I studied culture, studied why we create culture and what culture means, and then I learned in graduate school with a master's degree in education. And the majority of my career has been education. And the one thing that I've learned is that we're never taught to be introspective. I mean, maybe we are as a kid, like when you're given journal entries or something like that. But once you get to even now, like third grade with the new Common Core curriculum that we have here in the United States, I'm not sure what they have up there in Canada, but kids are being like tested, mandated multiple choice essay format, different topics where they're learning content. They're not learning introspective skills. So, you know, that's something that I don't think enough people give themselves, you know, or think about, is that you're never really taught how to do that and you're never really given the time. Like there's very little value given to being introspective in the traditional education system, because you come in and up until you're like 18, sometimes 19 years old, you know, you're taught. You know, it's a factory-based model. You come in at one time, you switch with the bell every 45 minutes to an hour, and then you, after 8 hours, you leave.
Yeah.
And it's all about content. It's, here's what we're learning today. Did you learn it? And then, I mean, after 18 years of that, when, you know, and not thinking about, okay, well, what have I done? Where am I going? It's pretty hard to do that. And, you know, I think, which is why, by the way, that there's a huge push for habit hacking in our world today, because we're never really taught what would be good habits, because the habits that we're forced to do are really not the best. I mean, being forced to go to, you know, a class, if like, say, for instance, you're in a class and you really love it and then the bell rings and you got to go.
Right.
Huh? I mean, like, that's not how, like with YouTube now, if there's a video that you're learning something, you could pause and you can replay and you could watch it as long as you want. It's not on this bell system.
Yeah.
So then having to like switch our mind and be like, okay, now we're going from English to history and then we're going to math. Like, that's just not how we should work. And it's not the most effective way to actually learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Just another food for thought.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I'm looking over your, as we're talking, I see that, you know, on your Life on Purpose, it's almost like it's a daily show that you have. And it's almost like you're building a curriculum in ways for people to not only discover their purpose, but for them to have that time for themselves to be more self-aware, to question their beliefs, to question their habits. And I absolutely agree with you. I think it's, you know, everyone has that responsibility. I mean, you know, people have that responsibility, whether you succeed or fail, you know, people have to accept that it's part of them. And when they start, they have to accept that responsibility when they are thinking about their thoughts, when they're thinking about their beliefs. So when you're creating, you know, your Life on Purpose in some of these episodes, is that your main motivation to kind of almost create a new curriculum for people to kind of follow?
Well, it's funny, Jay, because I'm a very right-brained person. And I'm pretty terrible at making schedules and sticking to them.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm not. I'm right-handed.
Oh, okay.
Is that are most right brainers left-handed?
I heard someone said that when you're left-handed, you use more of the right brain. The right brain is more in control of connecting the dots.
Interesting. Okay.
Of different things.
When I play hockey, I'm left-handed, so maybe that helps.
You have a lot of epiphanies when you're playing hockey, and you're like, oh, that's why this is that.
Well, I'm talking to a Canadian, so I feel like I got to bring up hockey.
Right.
I grew up in Buffalo, which is like half Canadian in my mind. So
right.
I grew up playing hockey. But yeah, I was just saying, like, I believe in schedules. Schedules help me, and I need to schedule. Mm-hmm. Being a coach, I learned the value of scheduling time. I interviewed Todd Henry. He talked about how you need to schedule creativity. If you keep waiting for, like, an epiphany to strike, you're never going to actually create something. And you look at any of the greatest writers out there or the artists, they did have scheduled, like, times. And there's a great book called Daily Rituals that talks about that. So what was the original question again? I'm sorry.
I was just asking if, you know, your life on purpose, this is meant to be, you know, kind of a new age kind of curriculum.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, like, I wish I could say this is what I'm doing for a month and it kind of all works together, and I try to do that, but a lot of times when I sit down to write, I end up writing something that is a little bit different than, or maybe very different from what I had originally planned to write. So some of them are they're not completely related, or maybe they are, but not in the way that I had originally planned. Right now, though, my biggest influence and what I'm building is a lot about the hero's journey, because I studied the hero's journey when I was in school, and I'm rereading Joseph Campbell's work, and I'm noticing that the hero's journey is the archetypal plot structure of when you're a change maker and when you're actually growing yourself, but not so much in like a Frodo, Lord of the Rings, like hero's journey, like I'm going to get the ring. It's more like looking inside and that is a heroic journey on itself, which, you know, that sounds very Sunday morning infomercial. I understand, but it's so true. And that's what I'm finding as I reread Joseph Campbell's work. I'm like, holy crap. These different stages of the hero's journey are the stages that you go through when you actually live your life on purpose and you live intentionally. You know what I mean?
For sure. I got to download that or go and get that somewhere.
Unfortunately, there's not much in the, because I don't read very often. I listen.
Yeah.
And being a podcaster, I guess that makes sense. I was taking a road trip to Buffalo and I looked up Joseph Campbell's books, but he passed away, I think, in the 80s and or maybe the 90s, but there's no audiobooks of him reading it or anything like that. And I don't think there's an audiobook of the original Hero's Journey, but there are these great archived interviews with Joseph Campbell, and I forget the gentleman's name, I think it was BBC. And those I listened to, and oh my goodness, if I could, you know, if I was able to interview Joseph Campbell, that would just be incredible.
Right, right, right. You know, have you ever read the book, The Four Agreements?
No, what's up?
I think it's Don Miguel. So The Four Agreements is, it's a book, you can get it on audio as well, but essentially the main purpose of it is saying that we've all made these agreements with ourselves. And, you know, it's all these beliefs, and he has the four agreements that, you know, you need to make. One of them is, you know, do not take anything personally, or the first
That one's tough.
Yeah, and each one, he only has four of them. The last one is always do your best. Another one is like always be true to your word. You know, your word is what is binding. Anyways, at the end of it, he talks about how do you actually get rid of old agreements, right? Let's say he uses an example of, you know, a girl, you know, a little girl singing at home, and the mother comes home and she's frustrated with her day. She's frustrated with her work. She hears her little daughter singing and she's not, you know, thinking about it. And she just says, you know, shut up. Your voice is ugly. Right. She just says, you know, something like that. And the daughter, you know, accepts the fact that, you know, she's like, oh, maybe I do have an ugly voice. And, you know, she never sings again, you know, and it's a drastic example. But I think, you know, Don Miguel talks about, how do we go in and actually break this agreement? How would she break this agreement with herself and start singing and start, you know, voicing her opinions and, you know, being confident in herself, right? Because it all kind of, you know, ties together, and it all stems from this, you know, this emotional moment that had nothing to do with whether her voice was good or not. It had everything to do with, you know, just the scenario that her mom was annoyed at work. At the end of it, he talks about how you have to tackle each agreement, and you're essentially facing these, he describes it as like a monster with all, you know, 8 or 10 different heads, and each head is representing an agreement, right? So, you know, it just made me think about it when you're saying how brave it is to go through a hero's journey and how internal of a battle that actually is for everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it reminds me of something that Pema Chodron said. She's a great Buddhist spiritual teacher. And she talked about when you do that, when you, like you just mentioned, when you listen to your self-talk and you switch it, there's what she called a new vision. And that's where, you know, after, I think it was, she had cataract surgery, and all of a sudden she never realized that she was somewhat blinded before. And she had these new set of eyeballs, essentially. And she was like, holy crap, I can see so beautifully now. I never realized how blinded I had been. And I think that's the epiphany that you get when you start looking inside for, you know, for real effective change. The one thing I'll add on to what you were saying earlier in, it was Don Miguel's book, right?
Yeah.
Is, that reminds me a lot of something I just wrote recently, actually, which is talked about when you actually should quit. And, and, you know, I talked about like who, or rather that you should quit being friends with people who bring you down or disempower you, because, I mean, obviously that was her mother, so that's a different situation, but sure. We all have people in our lives that might actually talk to us that way, you know, and they might be really sarcastic and they might make snide comments about, you know, who you are or whatever, but, you know, that does influence your own internal dialogue with who you are.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's just something that I like to add too, is thinking again about like who you're keeping around you and what's the story that people are saying about you, and is that helping or is that hurting you?
Absolutely. I completely agree. You know, the top five, it ties back to, you know, who you...
By the way, Seth Godin kind of disagreed with me on that.
Really? Well, how did he, what was his thoughts on that?
And it wasn't exactly the same thing, but I had talked about how important it is to have an empowering community, especially, sure, especially if you're, if there's like a source of trauma in your life and so you're kind of wounded, which I think a lot of people that go through the stuff that we're talking about, maybe, that's what, you know, that's where the whole shaman comes from, wounded warrior. Anyways, so I talked about the importance of why you do need to keep an empowering group around you. And he said something along the lines like, yes, that's important, but you really want to have MBA type of people that will not just pat your back and say, you're awesome. He goes, you know, that's too easy, but rather will challenge you, will say, okay, you know, I get this, but what about this? And will help you work through what might work and what won't work. And so it's not really so much that he disagreed with me, but rather he made it clearer to me that it's not so much about just having like your mother say, you're doing awesome. Like, for instance, I remember as a kid, my mom's like, you're going to be such an amazing singer. I used to do Elvis Presley impersonation. She's like, oh my goodness, you're incredible. Now, granted, I did actually go to acting school and I did get into a musical theater program, but I wasn't always the best singer. I was mediocre. My wife's an incredible singer. But if I just listened to my mother the whole time, I would have been like, I'm amazing. And then Realizing, ugh, I'm really not. So I do get that point.
Have you heard of a guy named Ty Lopez? He did a TED Talk on the law of 33%. And he essentially talks about, you know, what we're saying, the top five people that you surround yourself with, you're typically going to be the average of these five people, right? And yep. He's saying, well, that's great and all, but if we look at a deeper level of it, we realize it actually should be split into three different categories of people that you should surround yourself with. You should spend 33% of your time with people that are way better than you, right? That you're just learning from, that they are, you know, a few years ahead of you. They have just a lot more experience, a lot more to offer. And you're just, you know, almost like a student studying under them in some ways, right? You should spend the next 33% of your time with your equals, people that, you know, that maybe are, you know, your go-to kind of friends and people that are viewing you on an equal playing field, so that you have that sense of normality, right? And then the last 33% of the time, you're supposed to spend it being a mentor, being an older sibling to others, being able to teach your ideas. And this, in this way, from 100%, you're kind of getting this all-encompassing network. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And yeah, that's something that, you know, that I often talk about as well too. I mean, you don't want to, actually, what's funny too, Jay, is that as teachers, that's actually how we make groups. I don't know if you knew that. What you're supposed to do when you make like a group of 3 to 5, for anyone, if you ever remember going back to group work, this is how it was supposed to go.
Right.
And this is what you should do now if you're ever working with groups, is you have someone in the group that's at your same level. You have someone that you can help teach, because there's actually, I think, an 80% retention rate. When you actually have to teach something, that's when you actually learn it the most.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're challenged by someone who's just a little bit higher than you. At least that's how it's supposed to work. It doesn't always work that way. But I am a huge fan of that type of logic, and I love to surround myself with people. And that's, I think, one of the greatest benefits of podcasting, which I always suggest, if people want to podcast and interview their role models, they should do that.
Yeah.
Because it offers an opportunity to have time with them. And, you know, and what through those conversations, you're being challenged. I've been challenged so much. I remember talking to Scott Harrison from Charity Water, and he was someone that I just felt so small next to, because his story is so large. His story is beautiful. And are you familiar with him?
I am not. I know who they are, but I'm not familiar with his story.
In short, he was a, you know, million-dollar party promoter in New York City. And then all of a sudden, one day, he had an epiphany. He was in a limo. He had Don Perry on, beautiful women. He had cocaine around and all. And he realized, what the heck am I doing? He looked in the mirror and realized, I am the greatest. I am a terrible person, essentially. And he completely switched his life around and went on Doctors Without Borders. And then he started up Charity Water, which is, I think, one of the most impressive nonprofits there is. And it brings clean water to people in need. And I bring up that story because when I was talking to him, he challenged me to realize that I can do a lot more in my life. So,
wow. And that was during the podcast interview.
Yeah. And so I always suggest people, you know, if you're looking for to be really challenged, you know, podcasting is one great way to do that. You can do a meetup too and all that. But if you're struggling to find those people that are just a little bit, you know, to where you want to be later on, they're just a little bit above where you want to be, or maybe they're just way above where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's podcasting meetups, going to the conference, actually meeting those people. Conferences is a great way to, you know, meet other people that bring you up and empower you as well.
It's, I also like to add on that it's a great way to actually bring some value to the table as well, especially on a platform on, you know, on iTunes, on SoundCloud, just for, you know, just the person, like, you know, you're being interviewed, you have, you know, this conversation to reference other people to at future points. And I know a lot of young people, you know, especially when they're getting out of school or they're starting out, they struggle with that question a lot. They go, how do I provide value? So that's, you know, that's a, you know, a lot of times they discount, you know, what they bring to the table, but having a podcast, having, you know, organizing, curating dinners or curating events, that's a great way to bring value to, someone else.
You know what I think is another way to bring real value to people? I think it's by being real and vulnerable. And I think that I look at some of the people that I admire the most, and they're the most real people that I have met, and they're very open about their story. They don't come off as being a, you know, look what I've done, I'm incredible kind of person. They're extremely humble. But from what I found is that one of the best things that you can do for your personal brand or for your personal goals is just to be as real and as open as you can be. And that's one thing that I'm doing on Your Life on Purpose is I'm not trying to come across as being a life coach. I actually really hate that term, and I don't understand the concept of life coach. That's like a teacher who doesn't practice what he or she teaches. I think you should practice what you teach. And I think if you're a life coach, you should obviously practice what you preach. But the term life coach always bothered me because that's a power situation. That means that I'm better than the other people, right?
Right.
And that's not true at all. I mean, I'm on Your Life on Purpose. I'm being very open and real and being like, okay, yeah, I've interviewed these people. This is great. Okay, I have, you know, great academic credentials. Okay, cool. But really, I'm just a regular guy. And I share my own I'm probably give too much information, but part of my brand is being personal, right? Is sharing my story. So I am very real. I'm very vulnerable. I talk about my personal struggles. I talk about my wife's health condition and how we're struggling to, you know, stay positive through that and grow, you know, and I'm struggling to be a full-time entrepreneur. And so I found that through interviewing these people, the people that are heroic enough to question who they are and be open about that, not, you don't have to do it in a public forum like I'm doing. I just choose that medium. It could just be by joining a group like one of the mastermind groups that we're in, but being completely real and vulnerable and say, this is what I'm struggling with. I want to get better. And when you're open to that, I think the greatest teaching moments come alive.
I always think like being honest, being authentic, that's on the rise because, you know, look at, you know, how our world is structured right now with, you know, social media, the abundant information. There's just so much noise and there's so many, you know, you can essentially craft a certain perception of your life. And a lot of people spend a lot of time crafting that perfect perception of what they believe that the world will love for them. And, you know, it's kind of sad in some ways because, you know, they can invest that time in just being open with it. You know, it's okay to say that, you know, I don't have it all figured out. I am learning as I go. And I mentioned that a lot, you know, with my own podcast, right? I think it's really, you're absolutely right. You know, it is heroic for people to kind of go in and say, look, this is a part of me. And when you do that, you kind of attract the other people that are open, that are being open, that are being vulnerable as well into your life. And the learning is exponential from there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the old saying, fake it till you make it is not really as possible anymore. And I get that. I love the whole fake it till you make it, have confidence thing. And that is true to some respect. Mm-hmm. But like I think of Richard Branson when he was a kid, and I think he was a kid at Stowe School, private school, and right. He was at a payphone, I think is the story, and he was like calling up to get an interview with the Rolling Stones' Mick Jagger, and he ended up getting that, and it was because he completely just faked, you know, running this magazine and running a record label or something like that. But he had essentially kind of, you know, bluffed a little bit so that he could, you know, get that interview, and he did.
Yep.
And I've heard that a lot with other people too, like using different addresses like in New York or different addresses in Beverly Hills to make it look like you're a very legit business when you start. Mm-hmm. And maybe that still works, but I think what's happening now is you're going to get caught. And you're seeing this with some of the major CEOs of companies who, you know, they're starting some of the things that they say in their personal lives is starting to make transparent to people in the real world what they actually are. So, yeah, I think the idea of fake it till you make it, I get it, but I think that it's better to be real, be vulnerable, and just be yourself. And personally, that's easier for me to go to sleep at night, too.
Amen. Amen, Mark.
Amen, brother.
I love that. Here's a last question for you. Huh? I'm always trying to get a better definition of a change maker. And considering that you've interviewed so many of them, you know, in your podcasts, what do you think of when we say the word change maker?
It's a great question. I would say my immediate answer is a change maker is someone who lives intentionally, and it's someone who is not afraid, looks at fear, looks at the things that they're stressed about as an opportunity to grow. And so whenever they come to a wall, whenever they come to a finish line, they either climb that wall or they make another finish line and they keep going. And it's those people that I think are the real change makers. I think the obvious answer to that, which I'm sure a lot of your guests have talked about, is someone who makes real effective change and purpose as more important than just bringing in money. Mm-hmm. And that is true. And I'm always amazed at people that start companies that do that. But for me, I think the nuts and bolts of being a change maker is someone who's real, who's vulnerable, who lives intentionally, and isn't afraid to take a look at their story and be like, okay, what is the unique thread that ties my story together?
I a big point that I try to get across in the show is people sometimes think of change maker and it's like, oh, I got to create a movement. I got to change the world. And sometimes, you know,
that can be very stressful.
Yeah. It's really daunting, right? But, yeah. You know, I love how you said, you know, living intentionally, living, you know, without fear, to kind of go on that heroic journey, because changing the world doesn't start with you saying, I'm going to change the world. Changing the world, if that's your intention, if that's a goal of yours, if that's something you want to do, starts with changing yourself. And changing yourself, I mean, you know, we talked about it, right? In this whole conversation, it has to do with, you know, changing your beliefs, changing your agreements, you know, doing all these, you know, different habit hacks. And I mean, I absolutely love this purpose-driven chat with you. I'm sure we can go on for hours and hours. Where can people, do they just look up Your Life on Purpose on iTunes? Where can people follow you? I know you have a pretty, a newsletter. How can people learn more about you and follow you on this journey?
Cool. Well, thanks, Jay. Thanks for the opportunity to do that. I love that. I think we're reaching, similar people with our unique stories and that. So I really appreciate the opportunity. The best way for me, honestly, is just head over to yourlop.com. That's yourlop.com. And I am on Twitter, so you're welcome to send me anything on Twitter. Twitter handle is Mark W. Guay. That's MarkWGuay. And of course, you can always shoot me an email, mark@yourlop.com.
Awesome, Mark. I'm going to put everything in the show notes so that people have access to you. I think you're doing some very inspirational things with Your Life on Purpose. And thank you so much for being on the show and your time.
Thanks, man. You have an incredible day. Can't wait to hang out with you in Toronto when I finally head up there.
Yeah, let me know when you're in town and we'll definitely get together.
That is it for this week's interview. Did you like what you heard? If so, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. We're building a community together for changemakers under the belief that together we can change the world. Join the movement at www.theinnerchangemaker.com. You can also go there for show notes and additional resources not provided in the podcast. Until next time, live with passion, live your dream, and live it now.